Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I have already been so inspired by the guest that is sitting across from me, and I feel like she has so much to share, and she is passionate, and she is going to bring a word today that moms and parents and anyone who is interacting with kids needs to hear. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, you are the author of the brand new children's book, God's Masterpiece, An Adventure in Discovering Your Worth. And you were just preaching to me before we started about how important it is that we speak life over our kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're walking through this life and we're just learning as we go, right? And I think it's as much as, listen, I have more to learn, and I learned so much from you. I really truly feel like the declaration that we are His, by His word, right? By His creation, that we are His creation, that we're good. It's His good works created with work to do ahead of it. He goes before us. He goes ahead of us with work to do, and that we are His unique creation. So in this world where so many voices are coming at our children, and whether you start at age 2 or 3 or 5 or 17, we have the power of the tongue over our children to declare and be really like beacons of truth for them and who they are in God. He's got good plans for them. He made them uniquely so. And likewise, He did the same for us. So God's Masterpiece is a fun little book that God gave me to go through this artwork, and you automatically declare an author, a painter, a sketch master, an artist behind every masterpiece we see. And therefore, when we see each other, how could you not declare a master? Mm. How could you not declare our great God? How could you not declare His hand in your life? And that we're all still in progress here. You know, He's adding brushstrokes to our life with a good plan and for us to have a great purpose. And I love that our kids get to walk in that truth. And I put a mirror at the end of the book with a frame around it so that you and your child can see, yeah, we both are His masterpieces, as are His friends reading this right now. Just that daily reminder, because the devices we have and the words in the world are not telling us that. And I just truly felt in my heart that the Lord was just like, write this and declare His great, masterful hand over our children. And then we get to do it in a fun way. Mm.
I read this to my younger kids, and we loved because it brings in these great works of art and then these great truths that you meld together so beautifully. And I'd love to know, like, what inspired you to do this in this children's book, because it's very unique. Mm.
So I think two things at once. God is really kind to let me get back to art. So I studied art. My dad's an architect. He let me draw on the walls growing up. So I grew up knowing Monet, you know, Degas. Like, I knew all the artists, and I was like, they are so cool. And I would walk in a museum or an art exhibit with my dad and always look on the bottom right-hand corner to see, like, who made that? Who made this great masterpiece? Who painted that? Even now, you see someone with a cool bag, you're like, who makes that? It's the first question we ask. When we look at one another, when our kids look at their friends, when we look at someone who even disagrees with us, we are to look at one another as, man, who made you? Mm. God did, with a great plan and a purpose, and uniquely so. And He goes ahead of us with a good architecturally designed plan. So He's very kind to let me bring those two worlds together, you know, my walk in faith. And also the need as a mom, like, I have this mirror in our house. We have it up on our prayer wall, and you go up the steps and you cannot avoid this mirror. And it says, you, by God, okay? Like, declaring by His word that, oh, there I am, and I'm His masterpiece. Why? Because we need the reminder. Why? Because this world wants us to believe we're not. Mm. This world is after the heart and purpose of our kids. This world is after their identity. And there's one author, creator, master who creates our identity by who He is and by His word. So I really felt like this conviction to find a fun way. Lord, give me a fun way to convey this message. And God's Masterpiece is that. And I know that your family has fostered, and it's been a journey for our own family. We've had the privilege of just an awesome handful of little ones in our house through interim care, which is like short-term fostering. And I didn't even, but the Lord was like, don't share this, just do it for so many years. And, but I can't not sit here and know for sure that seeing all those little ones whose plan wasn't yet, couldn't be seen by us, that it was a little blurry, that I had a gap period. And the Lord's provision for us for the opportunity to love them and be open arms in their gap, whether they're reunified with mom or whether they were placed in an adoptive family or whether they just needed someone for a weekend to be safe or 5 weeks until they found their forever home. Those little masterpieces, man, not determined by their circumstances, not determined by what we could see as their plan, but it's God's plan. And so we've had the opportunity to just hold these little masterpieces in our home. And it was also kind of a colliding conviction on my heart that was, I think, just turned into obedience and telling the story of these two kids who discover the masterpieces and then look at one another and like, hey, you too. You're a good masterpiece as well.
And I love that you brought up, you know, that mirror that says you by God. And I think we live in a society that we forget that every single person is created in the image of God. I feel like we just disregard the value of life in the words that we speak mm-hmm. about someone we disagree with. Mm-hmm. And I see, you know, I always say like, I am pro-life, but that means that I see that God has created every single person from the little tiny baby in the womb to the elderly person in the nursing home to every single other person in between, especially the person that I vehemently disagree with, in the image of God.
Yes.
And it completely changed the way that you approach people, the way that you interact with people when you remember and remind yourself, this person is made in the image of God.
Yes.
And I have such a responsibility to treat them as such, even when I so disagree with them. Mm-hmm. How has that changed the way that you've interacted with people?
I mean, radically, right? In the best way, in a most obedient way. And once you see it, you can't unsee it, right? So once you agree with the word of God that we are his image bearers, we bear his image, okay? And particularly for Christians who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have his power in us. Like, what I love about our great God is that he does not ask us to do anything without his power, that he has placed within us to do what he has called us to do. Like, none of this we do on our own will, right? If I were sitting there across from Whoopi Goldberg having a debate, it's not by my own will and power am I having a debate and loving her at the same time. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit in me, that he has gifted me. He has actually empowered me just with this kindness and mercy to actually reflect his love as I'm looking at the reflection of him. She is a bearer of God, her face, her heart. And even though we might disagree on things, I texted her the other day. I was like, well, I just love you. I love you so much. I'm so grateful that we can have a sisterhood and a friendship that does not depend on us agreeing on issues, because those don't define us. You know, that we actually answer to the same God and that we can look at each other as sisters and just love one another. That is winning. You know, you can have debate, but truly, I think we're called to just have like unity. Like the Bible says it, so that we may be unified. So that we may, why? Because we're his. Like, what parent wants their kids divided? You know, like if our kids are disagreeing or when they're 3 years old over blogs, what do I do? I mean, I'm holding the hands down the street. Go hold each other's hands so you get along. You have to latch your arms to one another and pick up sticks in the yard. Why? Because we want them unified, right? We want them shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart. And that's what our God wants. And so I think it's not that hard. It's a lot harder to like disagree and have disunity, I think, than to not. Mm-hmm. And I think our hearts tell us that each time. And you can feel it. And that's his conviction. And his way of nudging you back to like, oh, why don't you try to treat that person like an image bearer? Why don't you try to care for them like you would a masterpiece? If you were holding like Degas painting and you knew this is so valuable, this is worth so much money. This took forever to make. This is a masterpiece and I've got to get it from point to point. How would you treat it? I mean, there's not enough bubble wrap. Right? There's enough love. So we should be treating each other as like really precious beings and creations at all times.
That's so powerful. I honestly have never thought of Okay. So with my kids, like wanting them to get along, and you were talking about like when they're little, I think as they get older, you know, I think like my daughters, they're almost 21 and 18. And when they disagree and when they're not getting along, like as a mom, mm-hmm. it breaks my heart.
Breaks your heart.
Like I want so much to just come in and fix it. And like, I can't because I'm not God, you know, and right. I can walk with them and talk with them. And I was just thinking, I never have put the two and two together of like, oh, but when God's children disagree and are at odds with one another, how that makes him feel. Mm. That is a beautiful picture.
Right. And it doesn't break him like it breaks us, right? Like we're like, I'm broken. Till this is resolved, I'm broken. But it grieves him. Mm-hmm. No, it must break his heart. It must break a tear. I don't know. Like we're going to know one day. And I truly believe that his best for us is to be unified mm-hmm. in him. And what that looks like, he's going to reveal to us as we read more and more of his words so that we may be unified, so that we declare goodness over one another, so that we have mercy and kindness, and patience and forbearance. Like when the fruits of the Spirit are evident, it is like evident that he has been at work in you. So it's like, that's kind of how my indicators go. I'm like, yeah, I could have been more patient there. Could have been more forbearing. You know, there are those aspects. And when they all come together, you're like, okay, there's a unity with this person and me because I had all those things happening at one time and I can't even explain it. I don't even know how that happened, but I do. So I think it's just a fun way, I think, for us to even communicate with our kids, because are we declaring that over ourselves every day? Mm-hmm. You know, the words we speak over ourselves in front of our kids matter. I was super careful about that with Grace when she was growing up, like never anything negative physically about myself, like never saying anything negative, because I didn't want her to see her mom declaring over her own masterpiece that there's something wrong or something that could be better. You know, the discipline of our words by our kids, they are going to learn the practice of declaring that they are his and his good work by how we declare that we are his too. Mm-hmm. And so I love anything that brings kids and their parents or a grandparent or a cousin reading with them together. That time together is unity. Time together in the word is good. So like, that's why I love writing kids' books, because I'm like, there are probably two people reading this at the same time who really love each other. So mm-hmm. it's a fun thing that God's let me do. I love the process. He always wants to work on my heart in these books, because I think he asked me like, do you really believe this? Mm.
Okay, so there's so many things I want to ask you. But first off, I hear from so many moms who are frustrated with their kids because they can't figure out the balance between they want to declare like God's identity over them, but also they feel like, I just got an email from someone the other day and she was saying, my kids are making such bad choices that I feel like I constantly need to be telling them how they can improve. And basically we interacted a little bit and she confessed, you know, she's just been constantly nagging at her kids, but it's also in her heart, she's so frustrated because she feels like they're just not making good choices and they were in their teens. What do you say to that mom? Like, how do you find that balance between sometimes we do need to address things in our kids, but how do we do it from that perspective of speaking truth and life and love over them?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge of motherhood and the blessing of motherhood and the gift to sit in that tension, right? Because we have fear because we want the best for them. And yet we see that sometimes they're going to learn the hard way, right? Like they fall down or they choose the wrong thing. They put something in their mouth they shouldn't. Like we don't want them to have big consequences. So we need to remind them as they grow that those right size consequences are actually loving ones to help guide them, to train them to make better decisions, right? So you have that and then you have fear. If you don't do this, you're going to die. If you don't wake up for your alarm, you're going to miss your job and get fired one day. No. You know, like we can absolutely go to that extreme. Why? Because we don't want that for them. And we want them to see the extreme of our emotion is justified in a fear of reality, right? Not that that's going to be there. So like, how do you meet them in the middle there? And how do you do that? I'd say prayer. Like, you know, you're positioning yourself to not let your kids run themselves off cliffs as much as possible. And then Jody Burnt has been really helpful to me. You know, I do her 31 days of prayer over our children, our teens, our adult kids, our marriage, because I think it kind of covers some bases there. And every day just like sitting and truly asking, what that does is sort of crack open my heart to, okay, Lord, where, when I'm sitting in your word and I'm reading in the morning And I'm praying your goodness, your fire and glory around our house, our children, our home, their future, God, that you have for them. Okay. You have a future with a plan and provision to not harm them, right? And you say that, so it's true. Bring to my heart, Lord, how I need to be praying for them. Mm. And he will. You know, when you have those feelings like, gosh, this one needs confidence. This one, Lord, let their eyes not see something they shouldn't. And when they do, let them turn from it. And I think also confessing to your kids, like I confess to my kids as much as possible. If I got something wrong and correcting them. And then I made mistakes too. And sharing appropriate stories with them about your past. Because I think one of the hardest things to do as a kid is to try to be perfect when you think your parents are perfect. And then you can sit in a shame space and a dishonest place or hiding place and not come to your parents with things. And so I tell my kids the two best things that I can hear for the rest of their lives into their adulthood are, Mom, I love you. And Mom, can I talk to you? So creating a space where they know they don't have to try to approach a perfect parent with a big mistake and feel shame. And so if you can train your kids to come to you, and sometimes I've been better at that than others. I feel like right now I'm in a season where I feel like, yeah, they can come to me. And part of that is like confessing, like, oh, I made some bad mistakes in my life too. Mm. And I wish I'd gone to tell someone. Mm. And letting them know that like they're not dealing with like some authoritarian like human before them who's going to punish them mercifully, that they're coming to you because you're their safe place. Next to God, he has positioned parents to be guardians for a reason, and that includes shepherding them through some bad decisions.
One of my childhood memories is creating handmade gifts for our grandparents and aunts and uncles. Every Christmas season, all of us kids, there were seven kids in my family growing up, we would hand make a gift for each of our aunts and uncles and grandparents. And I just remember so much the joy and fulfillment that would come from the hours that we would put into those gifts and then getting to see them being opened on Christmas. And this reminds me of KiwiCo because they create crates that don't just sit on a shelf, but they invite kids to build something memorable. And we have actually encouraged grandparents to give these as gifts for our kids as they have been growing up. And I love that our kids have learned so many skills. They've gotten that same fulfillment. And it's kind of that gift that keeps on giving because it shows up in the mail and our kids get all excited. Month after month, they remember their grandparents or their loved ones who gave them that gift, and they get to create something with their hands. I also love that these are screen-free gifts. You're not just giving a child a gift when you give them a KiwiCo crate. You're giving them the tools to create their own fun. And every crate is designed to spark hands-on discovery, from a delivery bot that gets wheels turning to a candle carousel that's spins with science. KiwiCo turns gifting into making and also helps kids be able to explore different things like science, technology, engineering, art, and math through projects that are both fun and skill building. And I just think that if you are looking for a creative gift to give another child, or you're looking for a gift idea for grandparents or other loved ones in your life, I can't recommend KiwiCo enough. It is something that our family has loved for many, many years. Tinker, create, and innovate with KiwiCo. Get up to 50% off your first crate at KiwiCo.com using promo code Crystal. That's up to 50% off your first crate at KiwiCo.com, promo code Crystal.
As you were talking about praying over our kids, one thing I've noticed, I get on the treadmill every morning and pray over my kids. And a lot of times God will remind me of something that I need to ask them as I'm praying for them.
Totally.
Or something that, like this morning, it was, I need to circle back with the child and I need to ask forgiveness for something that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think to just stopping to pray over our kids, God not only uses it for our kids, but I think he uses it for our hearts. Like, we need that to like be literally opening up our hands and giving our kids to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think foster care definitely taught me that. It taught me how much I thought I controlled my kids. And when I was caring for a child that I had no control over their future, over anything about the decisions that would be made for them, what tomorrow would look like, I realized, oh, I don't know how to do this. And I somehow think that I am in control of my biological kids.
Wow. That just really hit hard.
It was just that thing of, I need to, just as I'm having to hold my hands open and this is wrecking me to do this with a child I'm fostering, I need to do this with my biological kids as well, because I am not in control of them, even though I think I have this, you know, facade of control. I don't know what tomorrow holds.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so glad you said that to me, because it's, I think, in fostering and in doing it the way that God's allowed our family to, in this interim care, I oftentimes think, oh, this is how I'm supposed to parent. This is how I'm simply called to love and protect and guide without control. I think we're wired in a way because of this world, and there are so many expectations, and, you know, every meal plan I get, I feel pressure. I don't know why. I'm like trying to control the controllables. And then, you know, I think one thing I've learned as, and just kind of dug this up, is like the love our kids have learned that they have in their hearts for a child that they welcome into their home without any guarantee of any sort of like tangible future attached to that person, just to love unabashedly, without reserve, selflessly, and to be loved back, they loved. But I think there's a freedom that I have had found in that, as challenging and stretching as those days can be in different ways. There was this there's an awesome freedom that I feel in that time. And I'm like, did I have this with Grace Taylor and Isaiah? I think I had moments of it, but it's a gift from God that I think has informed my parenting now. How kind is he? How kind is he to open our hearts in a way like, oh, this, okay, let me remember with this. Let me lock this in, this method, this posture, this surrendered freedom without expectation, just prayer. And what that can do in my parenting now, it's awesome how kind he is to allow that to happen in that space. And so, I just think as parents, it's that tension, especially for moms. We're constantly just swirling in our heads, like, what do they need, right? To try to meet their physical needs, their emotional needs, their dinner needs, their protein needs. Apparently, kids need a lot of protein now, right? We're trying. But I think it's ultimately like prayer is like the most powerful thing we can give. And like you said, when we sit in the morning, when I'm like, God, just reveal to me. I text our boys today and our daughter something that, after quiet time with the Lord, time with him, abiding in the word, definitely pressed on my heart, specific words to share with them. And I think he does that. Like, he, of course he cares. Of course he wants to give us like the gift of a prompting on our hearts to pray in a certain category for our children or certain topic, and asking for not only a result. Like, we can ask him for results. We can ask him for how to pray for our kids. Like, that is like my prayer often now. Like, Lord, how can I pray for my children? Mm-hmm. Well, how can I pray for my husband? Well, reveal it to me throughout the day. So I think it's just being quiet enough to hear it.
Yeah. And I was just thinking how when we stop and do that, like making that space for just listening to the Lord. Because it's so easy for us as moms to, oh, we're having this problem. Well, let's find a podcast. Let's find a book. Let's find a mentor. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But I think so often we miss going to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, we skip over asking the Lord for wisdom, asking the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom to know how to have the conversation or talk to our child or what we need to do. And we're just like, somebody give me that A, B, C, D, E fix for my child.
Mm-hmm. And it can be in your car. You know, sometimes mornings, I have seasons where I was at work by 3 a.m., right? So I think like the pressure we put on ourselves to like pray perfectly is real. And so you're going to shake that off sometimes. Like, there are seasons in your life. If there's a mom out there and you're like, well, I don't have that time with the candle, but like, I just got to that point in my life. Okay, I'm 48. And like some mornings aren't like that, mm-hmm. but like in different seasons when I was in different work situations, right now I know the time that I can do that. There were times where I was just literally survival mode, trying to like get out the door with a pair of heels and a notebook and get the kids' breakfast out because they would be up after I was at work. Like your season is okay with God. He wants you to find him and seek him. If it's on a train, if it's on the bus, if it's in like in your get ready area in your bathroom, sit with him and just let his word like figure you out. And out of you will come prayers over your children. And he meets you there. Like he really does. Like I remember sitting in a car on the way to Fox News 3 a.m. or so. And I was like, man, I'm exhausted. And I would just sit and just be like, Lord, I had so much research I had to do that I was privileged to do. And I knew I had to deliver some hard news in about an hour and a half when I got to work. And I was like, I needed his good news before the hard news. Mm-hmm. I needed his word before I gave a word out to the world. And even in those quiet times on those drives, like he met me there. He just met me there. And so I just want to encourage any moms out there, if you've got little ones crawling on the floor or whatever that space is, he's the author of time. You may not think you have any. Man, his time is infinite. Mm-hmm. His time reaches. It's not defined by, well, I don't have 20 minutes and 5 isn't enough for God. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. A breath is enough for our God. A groan is enough for our God. Like, it's okay to groan. Like, mm-hmm. And he'll meet you right there. He catches your breath mm-hmm. and he fills you with his. And it's like, it's hard in seasons, especially when you have like a physical season with kids. Like, and you're just trying to like get it together, layer work on top of that. Layer, maybe you had a hard day in your relationship, groan out, and he breathes his breath in and he does what he does best, which is fill you with his power for the work that he has ahead of you, because he looks at you and he's like, you, mom, by the way, are also my masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Man, he loves us. He gave us this awesome job. He's not going to ask us to be momming without his power of the Holy Spirit in us. Mm-hmm. Like I went too many years trying to do it on my own. I know that gear. It runs out. It runs out. And I think especially for like a hardworking, driven type gal, you're one, I know. Like we can run on our own gear pretty hard, you know? And like I've realized like I don't even, that's not the way.
Mm-hmm. And just praying as you go. Like someone a few days ago in my discipleship group, she said, I just wish I could pray like you. And I looked at her and I said, there is no right or wrong way to pray. And she said, well, how did you learn to pray like you do? And I said, honestly, it's because I just think of God sitting here right next to me, just with me wherever yeah. I am. And I'm just praying whatever I need to say to him. And so I'm not worrying about like, did I say it right? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like there is no right or wrong way. And like you said, it can be a groan. It can be, help me, Jesus. Mm-hmm. It can just be Jesus.
Jesus,
you know, he knows our heart, but he is waiting for us to reach out mm-hmm. for his help.
Yeah.
And he will always, always be faithful. Like there's never one single time that I've reached out to him for help that I haven't been helped. Yeah. Like he is always going to answer those prayers of our heart when we're just crying out for like, Jesus, help me. Whether it's in your job, whether it's in your parenting, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in your finances, like whatever it is, like just reaching out. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to plop down, you know, $1 million for you or give you a new job, but he's going to give you the grace that you need mm-hmm. to do today. Yeah. That's all he's going to give you. He's not going to give you, you don't stockpile his grace.
It's not Costco, people. We're not getting extra supplies here for the bread. Daily bread. It's good.
Because then he wants us to be in that place where we're just totally reliant mm-hmm. upon him. And to recognize that like he sees us as his masterpiece and how we want our kids to come to us. You know, they don't have to say it the right way. They could just come and be like, Mom. And like right then and there, like our heart is just with them. And we just want to sit with them and be with them and help them and whatever they need. You know, think of our Heavenly Father. Like when we cry out to Him, like He feels the same way, only on so much more of a level because His love for us is so much deeper than we can even comprehend.
Isn't that so cool? I try to imagine, and I know it's like, I always think of understanding as, okay, I'm under your sovereignty. I fully surrender and trust you and your power, my God. And I'm standing on your promises. And to me, that's like what understanding means, literally under and standing. Like that's where I am because I'm submitted to your absolute power and I'm trusting your promises to be true. And I'm standing on those. And that's what I'm going to walk on and stand on. That's my grounding. And I'm like, that allows me to shift from me-liance to reliance because I trust my King. And we love when our kids trust us, right? Like when your girls now, they're at an age where they can call you and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And we move into that like consultant phase of life, which is very hard to shift into because you're like, I don't know. What do you think about that? And inside you're like, that's a really wild idea. No, but you're listening. But what do you love most? The fact that they called. Mm-hmm. The fact that they called your name. Mm-hmm. Like think about when I think about our kids, like imagine them like not feeling well or being scared and not calling for you in the night, not asking for you to help them if they fell and were hurt. Like, no. Our Heavenly Father, like, He delights when we ask Him. And mostly because what are we doing? We want to just snuggle up with our kids. Like, we can't really fix the fever totally. We love being near them. He loves presence. He desires presence. And so that abiding is just like resting in Him. And it's like the greatest thing we can do, not only as parents, because that's just a glimpse of His love for us, right? But the privilege to do it as reflections of Him. But like, wow, we have this Father who's doing that for us as parents. Mm. Like, so we can call to Him, like, Dad, I need help. Like the flat tire of my heart needs assistance. Mm-hmm. And we can do that. So that is, I'm just so grateful because I cannot imagine the responsibility of parenting without the power of our God.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I'm just so grateful that you came today and you shared this encouragement that we all need to hear. And this book, if you have a young child in your life, whether it's your child, your grandchild, your niece, your nephew, someone who just needs to be reminded of who they are in God's eyes and also beautiful art. Like I love the melding of those two. They're going to learn about artists that are these great artists in their work. And also the greatest artist of all. Get a copy of God's Masterpiece, An Adventure in Discovering Your Worth. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.